Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Be awesome with Cody. I'm Cody. So this week we're kicking off May 2018. We're gonna do awesome movies from the '80s, mostly action. I think they're all action. I haven't decided completely on all the titles yet, because there are so many to pick. But the first one we're going to talk about today, because it was the first one I chose right off the bat, is going to be 1987 Arnold Schwarzenegger action flick, The Running Man. So many things to talk about The Running Man. Some lesser known things. The fact that it's actually a adaptation of a novel, a science fiction novel by Richard Bachman. That's air quotes for the people who aren't in the room with me. Richard Bachman, if you don't know, is the pseudonym used by Stephen King, who decided to write some books that were not totally in his realm. He did this thing, if I'm not mistaken, I could probably look it up to tell you the exact story, but Stephen King took this pseudonym to essentially prove to himself that he could write books and people weren't just buying it because of him. Does that make sense to anybody? If I said that properly. So I think he did it, let's see, so at the beginning of Stephen King's career, the general view among publishers was that the author was limited to one book per year, since publishing more would be unacceptable to the public. So King therefore wanted to write under another name in order to increase his publication without oversaturating the market with the King brand, air quotes. He convinced this publisher, Signet Books, to print them a bunch of novels under the pseudonym Richard Bachman. He even went as far as having a picture taken of a different person to go on the book as Richard Bachman. The picture was actually of Richard Manuel, the insurance agent of Kirby McCall, who was King's literary agent. So they literally took a picture of a dude and used that as the author photo on the back of all the books, or in the case of like hardcovers, dust covers, they would be on the inside flap of the dust cover. But so the whole thing was basically just a way for Stephen King to put out more books, but also to test the likelihood of people buying other stuff other than his, because he's become one of the America's, if not the world's, one of the greatest writers, but also one of the most prolific writers. Dude puts out so many books. Like, Stephen King has so many books out, it's all ridiculous. But he wanted to do some other stuff, so he wrote some books under the pseudonym Richard Bachman. So the books that he wrote as Richard Bachman was Rage, The Long Walk, Roadwork, The Running Man, Thinner, The Regulators, and Blaze in 2007, which is crazy to think he still did it then too. So Rage was his first one. I can't remember if this is the same one. Yeah, it was. Doesn't matter. I'm not talking about those today. But The Running Man is one of Richard Bachman / Stephen King's pseudonym works. And we'll talk more about that too when it comes closer to Stephen King month. When it's that kind of thing. But it's an interesting, it's a very weird thought process that he writes. He wanted to write more books, so he essentially wrote as a different person. It's just insane. Just mind-boggling. So, The Running Man. So, I haven't actually read all of this book. I've read parts of it. And not because I didn't like it, it's because I didn't. I got a someone. I think it was my uncle had it, and I read part of it because I love the movie, which is the reason I'm talking about today. So much. I loved it so much. It was ridiculous. It's one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's best movies, with a ton of great one-liners and a bunch of amazing action and a bunch of, I mean, a great cast too, and I'll go over that in a little bit. So essentially there's, as far as I know, there's not a whole lot of difference between the book and the movie, other than the fact that they super play up the game show half of it. But essentially it's the same thing. I think they made the characters for the movie, the villains or the gladiators, you could say, way more ridiculous for the movie, I'm going to guess. But also it was set in this like soundstage, but in the book, it's actually decommissioned cities, if I'm not mistaken. I think. I can't remember how exactly what the difference. I remember reading before about the differences in the book and the movie, but we're not here to talk about the book today. We're here to talk about the movie. So yeah, the book, Richard Bachman, pseudonym of Stephen King. So that's that. The director of this movie, Paul Michael Glazer, not probably a well-known name by any means, but he did a lot of acting before he did directing. He didn't have a how would I put this politely? He did not have a type of movie he always did. So not all of his movies were like The Running Man, because his follow-up of directorial debut after The Running Man was The Cutting Edge. So if you don't know what The Cutting Edge is, it's an ice skating movie. I actually like that a lot. By the way, so if you don't know the name, I should have said this ahead of time. If you don't know the name Paul Michael Glazer right away, you may know him as David Starkey from Starsky and Hutch, the TV show. And then later he made a cameo in the movie, the remake or the big screen movie with Owen Wilson and what's his face, Ben Stiller. So if the name sounded familiar for some of those older folks, he was David Starkey in Starsky and Hutch. So there you go. But his movies ranged from his directorial debuts was A Band of the Hand, which I don't know if many people are going to know at all. But it was a good movie. Nothing standout-ish. He did Running Man. He did The Cutting Edge. He did The Air Up There. And then he did Kazam. Yes, that's the Kazam you're thinking of. The one with Shaquille O'Neal. Yes, he directed that one too. I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. The guy who directed Running Man directed Kazam. Yes. And that kind of stopped him making movies since then. He's done a lot of TV shows. He directed a lot of episodes of different TV shows. Nothing spectacular, no big long runs on anything. And then he came as an actor on a couple different things. If you saw him now, you may recognize him as some things. You've seen him in small parts in TV shows, but that's about it. The movie stars Arnold Schwarzenegger. It stars a lot of other people, too. I'm not going to run through all of them. His co-star, love interest, I don't know how to put it, is Maria Conchetta Alonso. No, you don't know her from anything else, I'm pretty sure, unless you're a super big movie buff. I guess the biggest thing is, I always remember from, besides The Running Man, is, oddly enough, a sequel to another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Predator 2, which he's not in, but she is. She plays the lieutenant or the detective that works not directly with Danny Glover, but as part of that group. And she's the one that ends up being pregnant that the Predator skips over because she's pregnant. And that's not really a good hunt. That's why he didn't kill her. Murdered everybody else on the train, which makes no sense because there's like an old guy too, but whatever. So she was in that. That's probably the next thing I point you at. I don't know if you remember her in that, but she was in Predator 2. She's the pregnant lady, the pregnant cop lady, who didn't know she was pregnant, but Predator did. He's like, oh, two heartbeats. I think it was actually two. It might have been two heat signatures. Might have been heartbeats. I should watch that movie again. I should do a whole month of not great sequels. It goes against the whole awesome, but it'd be fun. It's still, I still like it. I still like Predator 2. It's no Predator 1, but it is awesome. So maybe I will do those. So that was Maria Conchetta Alonso, and then one of the other big names in it is Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson. For the folks who don't know, he was the game show host. He is a game show host, but he was the game show host and the running man, kind of the antagonist of the movie. The kind of, you know, one that like did everything he possibly could to stop Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from doing it. Damian Killian is his character's name in it. Richard Dawson was also, he was an actor. He passed away in 2012, but he was the second host of his most famous run, which is Family Feud. He did The Match Game. He did a couple of things, but he was on a lot of comedy shows. Dick Van Dyke. He was a bunch of different stuff he's done. But Richard Dawson was pretty famous back in the day. He was in Hogan's Heroes. I guess that would be a big one for him. I guess if you didn't for that, I guess you could say. He was. He's been in a lot of different things. Hogan's Heroes, definitely, you'll know him from that one. I think it's about it, though, really. But it's Richard Dawson. I mean, he's, like, arguably the best Family Feud host they've ever had, by far. But he's pretty awesome. So that's the main ones. You have a lot of other people you may not know the name of. Jesse Ventura, Jesse the Body Ventura, Governor Ventura, what do you want to call him, was in it as well. Jim Brown, who's a football star, but he was a pretty big deal in movies for a while too. Not like huge star and you know him like ever, but he was in a lot of stuff. He was in a lot of war movies. So yeah, you might know Jim Brown, whatever. He played himself in the movie Draft Day. Just saw that on the list. I forgot that was it. I haven't actually seen the movie. So, So what makes this movie awesome? Besides the fact that it, like, when you watch it, it's complete 80s because it's fucking ridiculous. But this movie had everything that I ever wanted when I was growing up. It was stupid action. It has actually some, I'm not going to say really good plot in it, but has some plot stuff that I didn't really catch when I was younger. I think the first time I ever saw this movie was actually on HBO when I was like 6 or 7. My brother showed it to me because my brother and his best friend Joel, at that time, it must have been Joel. Was it Joel or is it Michael at the time? I don't remember. He showed it to me. He was my gateway into a lot of stuff because he was 2 years older than me, and my parents kind of, I don't want to say didn't care what we watched. I don't think they knew everything we watched, but they knew we weren't degenerates for the most part. And So they let us watch a lot of stuff, and he wasn't supposed to show me this stuff, but he definitely did, and I thank him for that because I fucking love this movie. It's so ridiculous. The costumes are ridiculous. The theme is ridiculous. The idea of the story is ridiculous. The whole thing. So if you guys haven't, if you haven't seen The Running Man, I don't know why you're here, unless you're trying to find stuff cool and awesome, and you're welcome. But so the whole thing is, Ben Richards, who is Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, is a soldier who gets disgraced, because he didn't choose to kill a bunch of civilians to kill a bunch of bad guys. But later on, he was tried and convicted because he went against his direct order. And so they actually flipped the script on him later and they make it look like he was the butcher of Bakersfield and that he murdered all those people unjustly. But he didn't. So he was basically convicted of the massacre during a food riot in Bakersfield, California. He gets sent to a labor camp. And labor camp's cool. It's one of my favorite scenes in it. It's like a super... I don't want to say overused one, but it's there's a lot of movies that take liberty or take emphasis from this scene. And the scene is all the prisoners in this labor camp have a collar on, and then there's essentially an electronic fence that if they cross it and they don't get back in time, the collar has explosives in it, and it's a shape charge that will blow upwards and literally just disintegrate their head into mist. It's fantastic. Well, he makes friends in there, who I don't want to say he uses, but he does. He uses them to help him get out of here, and they're only friends because of what was going on, like because of the labor camp they were in. So, they basically make a deal with him that they're all going to escape, and he's going to help them. And he's going to go to somewhere where they can get rid of the collars without blowing up their heads. And then they're going to go their separate way. He's going to help them get to where they need to go. And then he's going to go to his what he thinks is his brother's apartment, which turns out not to be his brother's apartment anymore. But it's very high tech. Oddly enough, the futuristic time is 2017. The reason they picked that is because it's literally... It's the future. So when you go back to the 80s, 1987, and you say, oh, if you were to say the future, what would you say? 1997? Not really. 2007? No. How about 2017? Which is 30 years. So that's pretty good in the future. And oddly enough, a lot of the stuff they have in this movie as future tech, we have that now. So, in a way, they predicted stuff. So that's the beginning of it, and the actual time frame of the movie is 2020, I think. So it starts in 2017. He's in the labor camp in 2019. So my taste break in 2019. So it's basically 30 years as of next year. So we have until next year, when the economy collapses and there's food riots and prison camps. And the biggest thing on television is a game show where convicted felons, try to, run for their lives, The Running Man. And if they get away, they have a chance to have, a luxurious vacation and get away from their sentences in a way. Like, they take their life in their own hands against these brutal killers to hopefully become free men. So that's ultimately the plot of this movie. Like I said, ridiculous. So Arnold Schwarzenegger makes it to his brother's apartment, makes himself feel at home. All of a sudden, it turns out, not his brother's apartment. He meets the female lead of the movie, who is now living in his apartment. There's voice activation, and then there's like automatic stuff Amber Mendez is the character's name. Maria Conchetta Alonso is who plays her. She comes in. He has to kind of hold her hostage. She ends up telling him that his brother was taken for re-education. Re-education is the world's way of making you a better citizen. It's brainwashing, essentially. They re-educate you, air quotes, to fall in line with what society is doing, which is terrible, but it's not much farther than we are right now in the real world. So, you know, look forward to next year when we have a real life Running Man, which is fucking terrifying, because we could do it now and it'd be absolutely monstrous. So the game show, again, if you haven't seen this, so basically it's not an obstacle course like American Gladiator was, but you have these gladiators or hitmen or stalkers, as they call them in the movie. And what happens is the stalkers get released one at a time to hunt down the runner. The runner in this one, it's not just Arnold Schwarzenegger. It starts off that way. It's going to start off that way, but he actually gets sent in with two of the guys he escaped with, Weiss and Laughlin, who again, they're the ones that escape with him from the camp and, you know, do the thing with the bomb necklaces and all that fun stuff. And so they get sent in together, they get captured, sent in with him, and then they basically get run down by these stalkers. So the fun part about it is during the show, there's a live audience in the studio, which is the studio has got a bunch of monitors on it. They watch from the cameras from the feed because they have real people, you know, camera mounted cameras up. They also use real cameramen to get and do the closer shots. But the audience members get to actually play along. So what they had to do is they randomly select an audience member, and they actually get to choose the stalkers that go into effect. So there's just a ton of stalkers. We only see a handful, maybe five or six, really. Because you have Sub-Zero, you have Buzzsaw, you have Captain Freedom, you have Fireball, you have Dynamo. I think that's actually it. So what is that, five? Sub-Zero, Buzzcock. Or Buzzsaw, Buzzcock. There's the reason I say that. Buzzsaw, Captain Freedom, Fireball, and Dynamo. So yeah, so five. Five you see. I'm sure they mention a bunch. So the audience picks the stalker to go after the runners. The first one picked is Sub-Zero or Professor Sub-Zero. Who's played by Professor Toro Tanaka. Yes, he's a real life professor, in a way. He was a professional wrestler, if you don't know who that is. He's a very big dude, really. But in this movie, he plays Sub-Zero, which is a hockey player who has, but he's armored up, razor sharp ice skates, and then his hockey stick is bladed, so he can slash people and stab them and cut them and stuff. It's pretty gnarly. So he goes in first. He gets dispatched in a terrible way by the gentleman as part of the fun. Then you have next up, I believe, is Buzzsaw. Yes, Buzzsaw. He is he's played by Gus Wrightwich, I think is how you say it. I don't know much about him. Mainly because I think it's like his only real movie. But he uses buzzsaws. Chainsaws, really, technically, is what he uses. But he has a motorcycle that has chainsaws on it, and he's ridiculous too. And he gets, arguably the worst death. Can I say arguably? Yeah, I'm going to say arguably the worst death. It's pretty fucking brutal. Basically, Arnold Schwarzenegger takes the chainsaw and runs it up him, starting with his testicles. Yeah, it's pretty rough. But it's awesome. So then we have, at the same time they send in, they're going to send in Captain Freedom, but, they kind of hold off on that. And the next one to go in is Dynamo. Dynamo is played by, I'm going to butcher this name, Erland von Linth de Jode, I think is what it is. I'm probably butchering that because I'm terrible at names. I'm terrible at foreign names. I'm terrible at American names, really, to tell you the truth. He was in a bunch of movies, or a handful of movies, nothing big. He's Dutch-born American actor. He was a wrestler, and he was an operatic bass baritone. And he oddly enough, studied computer science at MIT. So there you go. He is very, very rapey in this movie. He lasts the longest of the three main ones that go in. Fireball is in there too, played by Jim Brown. I want to say Dynamo goes in first. Yeah, he does. He goes in first. He has this ridiculous car that shoots lightning bolts. I fucking love it. If I'm ever stupidly rich, I'm going to definitely have I should talk Mike into dressing as Dynamo for Halloween. We won't be able to do the car, but we can do the light up armor and stuff, I think. Oh, that'd be amazing. Mike, don't listen to that part. Anyways, done daydreaming about that. So Dynamo has his car. He's running him down. At this point, Amber's been brought into the game as well because she found out she's been working with Ben Richards, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, and so she gets subjected into the games as well. The popularity of Richards as he takes down the different stalkers, Killian has to come up with a different way. So Dynamo, I was talking about him. So he does die. He kills Weiss. He's about to kill Amber. She's screaming and Richard catches up to her. They both evade Dynamo. The buggy flips as he's trying to chase him down. He's trapped in it. Ben Richards refuses to kill a downed opponent. He believes he's harmless at that point and leaves Dynamo alive as he and Amber return to Laughlin, who is not doing so well because of a buzzsaw attack. His guts are kind of leaking out. Who dies pretty much right then and there. It says the resistance is hideout is in the game zone, which is just ridiculous, but I guess it works that way. So they have to find their way there. They do. They meet up with the resistance. They make this deal, frustrated that that they're running out of opponents and that Richard's popularity is growing. The viewers are actually choosing him instead of the stalkers. Off camera, Killian offers Richards a job as a stalker, but he refuses. Then they send in Fireball, who chases them into an abandoned factory where Amber discovers the decomposing corpses of previous season's winners who didn't get away. They won, and then they were killed and faked as being on a luxurious vacation. So it turns out it's a lie. No one gets out alive. They the winners, realizing they were killed by Fireball and their victory was faked, Fireball goes after Amber, but Richard rescues her and kills him using his own weaponry, which is a flamethrower and stuff. It's pretty cool. So then they're going to send in Captain Freedom, who's kind of like a retired stalker who's played by Jesse Ventura. And so they're going to put him in this ridiculous outfit. And then they decide, you know what, we're going to just fake that we're killing him. So they digitize body doubles of Amber and Richards fighting Captain Freedom, and he beats them. And one point throws Ben Richards into a spike wall. And that's when the Resistance mounts their efforts. They actually start broadcasting the real thing, and then they go against them. They start to escape the game. They hunt down the stalkers. Dynamo shows up again, but Amber fights and kills him, and he's in his underwear. It's fantastic. But the audience is like appalled because the studio is a fake, and they've been lying to people and so on and so forth. So, you know, that old chestnut. But yeah, it's super fun. It is violent, just like all good movies from the 80s. I'm going to try not to do another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I might mix it up and do a couple other ones. I have a lot of, there's some really awesome 80s movies that I can do. But that's this week's episode, everybody. Again, we're talking about Running Man, the movie based on the Richard Bachman book / Stephen King book. And that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome Cody. I am Cody, and as usual, let's be awesome.